have a special guest who's also going to continue talking about family vision. Our summer family night is just still getting started. It's going to be really cool. So we are going to bring up Minister Sean Aubrey.
Hello. How's everyone? Can I sit down?
Yeah.
Thank you. So, it's good to see all you guys, man. I don't get a chance to see everybody. This has been great to be back at church on Sundays for the first time the past couple of weeks because many of you people who probably have joined New Day since I started working on Sundays, I probably haven't met you or had to spend time with you yet, but you family. So we all family here together. That's that cool pick right there, though. No hate, Pastor. No, the reality of it is, what's been cool, man, is to get a chance to see all the new faces and how New Day is growing. And we really appreciate you guys. As you guys know, we got a great ministry here. You know, we love what Pastor Tony's doing. One of the biggest things I think for us has been, speaking of family vision, I would call our family vision organized chaos. Just because we don't have a very conventional way of doing things, in terms of, I'm going into work right after I leave here. I'll get a chance to see my wife tonight, but usually during the week we don't see each other. I'm at work at night; she's working in daytime. We're on opposite sides. We try to make it work as best we can, but. One of the things that I do, I probably don't have a whole lot of conversations with everybody here, but it's probably because I'm tired from talking to my sons. We have lots of conversations at home, and we discuss the family vision. And one of the biggest things I think for us has always been, we're going to serve the purpose of God in this generation, in our household, whatever that takes. And I'm not saying it as a euphemism. I'm not saying it to sound holy. It's the reality of things. Even when Quita and I did not take time to do many of the things that we've been reading here in Scripture, we started off, we got married. We probably waited 5 years, then kids. But I think what we did, probably most important, is we still had the foundation. The foundation is that we both came from a biblical family. We both tried to do what we were called to do according to God's purpose. Ourselves, we started youth ministry early, so our desire to really see young people do well in society had always been there, going back to 1998. So it was something that we started imparting to our kids right away. I took some notes because, like I said, I just woke up from last night's work, so I had to come right up here after that. But one of the things we talked to the boys about is mapping out a plan. Map out a plan, chart your steps, know where you want to go. We started off very early. Johnny and David, this is no joke, started ironing their clothes at 7 years old. We asked them where they wanted to go to college right away. From the time they told us where they wanted to go to college, we began handing them keychains with that college on it, putting posters up on the wall with that college on it, trying to place, and ingrain in them the importance of that education, the importance of taking school serious. One of our sons has been a challenge in school because this boy likes to do things his way. Good evening, ma'am. How are you? Looking all professional. Look at me. Anyway, so it was a blessing to see it unfold because from the time Johnny said he wanted to go to Stanford, we start taking it serious. From the time David said he wanted to go to USC and play ball, we started taking it serious. We didn't wait until recent years to start doing that. And so I think it's been a journey, not just for us, but for them, to be able to see what we're talking about, where we're coming from, and for them to realize that there are going to be dangers and pitfalls ahead, that if they don't plan now, then the plan is going to, then the failing to plan is going to crumble regardless. So if you plan it, at least if you fall off the horse a little bit, you can still get back up and get back on the chart and, be prepared to know where to go from here. So I think that that's been big for us. Speaking to them quite often about understanding the family vision. One of the things that you said earlier, what did you say earlier, guys, when we were back there in the back? What's important when you step out the house? What? Your reputation. First to God and then to the family. That's what's happening. If you look around society right now, we see everybody's more concerned about what my name is on the back of the jersey or let me represent me. There's a team that you play for. And the family team is what's important, what's vital. But if you don't, if your family ain't lined up, or if we're not lined up vision-wise, if we're not promoting that in the home, then they're not going to even know what team they play for, okay? You could tell them your last name is Aubrey all you want, but at the end of the day, if they don't see the principles being applied, it means nothing. It's just a phrase, a catchphrase. Anything to add? Okay. You sure? Okay. I think what's also been good, too, is setting family family time together is big. You know, one of my sons is really big on the family. He's like, what are we going to do as a family? It's always about what we're going to do as a family. So we try to purpose to play, spend as much time on our off days together to do things with them. And I don't only have collective meetings with my sons in terms of, you know, people say spend time with the family. I do spend time with the family. But Johnny and David will both tell you guys that I also spend individual time with them because I want to find out what's going on in your head individually, what it is that you purpose to do, because if you could figure that out and try to tell him what it looks like, not only to serve God first, but to gain a clear understanding early, because nobody told me that. Yeah, I had both my parents, but my father did the best he could. He worked hard, but that was his vision. And he grew up in a house with 7 or 8 other brothers, and, you know, they didn't have a very close-knit relationship. So we didn't have a lot of conversations when I was young. But I purpose to talk to the boys because I want them to understand individually what is it that's in your heart, what do you purpose to do, what do you feel like God gave you, and what you're supposed to bring to the table to the world. Because whatever you have inside you, the world's going to experience that. So I wanted to talk to them individually, not just collectively. And it's been a moving experience, man. I get a chance to talk to them about what their goals and desires are and talking to them about documenting these things, writing these things down on paper, trying to find out what it is that God is saying to you. And we have these very intimate conversations about it, you know, where they're able to tell me, you know, firsthand what they're thinking, what they're seeing, what they're feeling. And then I tell them to set boundaries for themselves, something that we didn't have when we first got married. Didn't set boundaries in motion in the very beginning. Boundaries for me is my alone time for me. Her name is ESPN. And, sorry.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry I'm late. Had work called. So one of the things that Sean was saying about boundaries, well, let me back up a little bit. So a vision for our family, we always had a love of God. We grew up in church, and we wanted our children to have a relationship with God. Outside of just going to church every Sunday. So what we purpose to do is pray with them in the morning. I have them pray. If their friends are with them, they pray. Family members, whoever's there, we're praying. So I want them to see that no matter who's around, no matter where we are, we're a praying family. And so I always tell them, who are you representing? Representing Christ, and you're representing the Aubrey name. So you need to make sure I'm not embarrassed. Don't embarrass me. Okay, so as far as boundaries, you know, Sean and I got married young. I was 21, he was 25. So we just felt like we're good people. We grew up in pretty good homes, so we'll be good. He grew up one way.
Praise God, praise God.
He grew up one way, I grew up one way. So we had to really And because we didn't have boundaries, we allowed things to come into our home, into our lives, into our minds. We were distracted by things that wouldn't have distracted us if we had clear vision for our relationship and for our family. And it could have cost our family. It could have cost our kids. It could have cost you guys. We wouldn't be up here talking to you guys. So it could have cost a lot. So without a vision, it can cost you a great deal. It's very expensive.
Real quick to add to that, one of the things I think we probably, as humans, as Americans, even as individuals, I think we kind of get caught up in what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I encourage every single one of you guys, please stop caring about what it looks like and get to the core of the problem. Because one of the things I think for us, you know, if you got a big house right now, that's great. I had one, couple of cars, three cars, whatever, you know, at a young age. You know, we did it, so, you know, you're feeling kind of good. You're kind of feeling yourself a little bit, you know. You kind of start feeling yourself just a little bit. And I think at the end of the day, you don't deal with the problems inside, and you realize that, who am I, really?
And a nice house is not good if you're not talking to each other, or if you're staying away from each other, or you're ignoring each other, or, you know, your kid's not listening. The big house is not going to matter when the inside is.
Well, you got finances, and, you know, you got money in the bank, so everything's okay. At the end of the day, you got to realize, man, this is so much bigger than that. If it falls apart, it's my fault. I'm the man. So I have to figure it out. And it ain't, and you realize, after you look around, you realize it ain't about money and cars and the house no more. It's more or less about, and I think that was the blessing in growing up, the way we grew up, is we found out that this was what we fell back on is what our roots were. And the roots were there. Biblically, sound doctrine. And we didn't want to hear it in the beginning, but it's what saved our marriage. It's what saved our kids. It's what saved my household. Be okay, not just with counseling with God again, but with individuals or people in your life that you trust that can speak into your life and give you the nasty. What I mean by the nasty is tell you about yourself. And that is what broke me down as a man to, like, literally in tears, the reality check. So that was powerful. And it, at the end of the day, everything that we've been talking about is really centered around what we teach our boys is that in the end, when all else fails, when nothing else matters, no matter what, you know, how many pair of Jordans you got in the closet or your jeans you're wearing, they got a name brand on them, or your shirt, or your chain, or whatever, all this stuff, the nonsense that they're putting out there. At the end of the day, if you don't have the foundational principles of Christ in your life, you're going to fall apart. And that's what we preach to them. We try to tell them, hey, in the end, let's handle that part. Because when you're down in the dumps, when we were down in the dumps, guess what saved us? The principles. We had to go back, and it was huge.
And it's never too late to create a vision. It's never too late to create boundaries. We didn't have that growing up, but we had to learn. We lived in the same house. We were married, but I didn't feel like he knew me, and I probably didn't know him either. We were just existing. So we had to implement date nights and family nights and family time, and we had to be intentional about those things so that we could learn each other and really start to create that vision that we wanted to see, and also hearing from God what the vision, why did he put us together? Why were we created? Why did he put us together? What was the vision and mission that he has for us in the earth, and how do we implement that for our kids? And so when you were talking earlier, reminded me of training up a child in the way he should go. Initially, I didn't understand that. I thought it was like, I'm gonna get you all right. I'm gonna train you up all right with this fist or that belt, you know. And I thought that was, I'm gonna get you. But it's when, you know, listening to Pastor Tony and Miss Jackie when they speak about how they raise their kids, it's listening to them and what is their passion? What are they good at? What's their gifting? How can I encourage that? It may not be the vision I have or the, oh, I want my kids to be doctors and lawyers, and that may not be it. They may be mechanics, they may be teachers, they may be just parents. I don't know. But what is it that's in their heart to do? And how do we encourage and put supports and things around them to encourage and lift that up for them?
Yeah, so the time alone with the Lord has been paramount. One of the things we talk to the boys heavily about is spending time alone with the Lord, really, big time, because that's going to cause that vision that you have draped up in your room to come to life. So that's a big thing. And then, you know, spending time praying in your heavenly language, huge. Pastor Tony taught me that about some years back, man, about just doing it on a regular basis when you're driving, whatever you're doing. It just reveals so much in your life, not just about your instabilities, but also about your vision going forward. And then, you know, of course, their hobby. One of the things, biggest things I think Quita and I hope for our family, vision-wise, and also going forward for the boys, is that Proverbs 27:12 basically talks about, you know, a wise man sees the danger that's ahead and takes precaution. Well, it's funny. I like to look at different versions to find out the wordplay and certain things that are used. And that's a huge verse. But at the end of the day, the complete Jewish Bible, which I found this out just because I just wanted to read it and see what it said, the clever sees trouble coming and hides, and the thoughtless go on and pay the penalty. And I think clever is quick to understand, to learn, and to advise and apply ideas. So that's the one of the biggest things in our family, in our household, is to be clever enough to figure it out, get ahead of the curve, and ask God for clarity and direction. And then as a family, we can move forward. It's a powerful principle because it affects everything in your house, your finances, your inheritance for your kids, property, real estate, as he talked about earlier, so many different areas of your life. So we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening to us. Brian.
Yeah.